So today is the last part of our four-week series. We've been talking about home for the last 4 weeks. We started this a few weeks ago, and the whole idea of home is this. What would it look like for us to have homes that please God and are attractive to others? For us to have homes that something about people come in, they're like, man, there's just something about that space. There is just something about what goes on there. And if you would say, I'm a Christian, I'm a believer, it might be that you're curious to know, hey, how does my home honor God? How does my home please God? What does that look like? And so we've been leaning into this for a few weeks, and today we're going to finish up our time together. A couple weeks ago when we started with this concept of love, that there are two kinds of love. And if you are here, you can preach with me and help me. Do you remember the two loves? There was from love, right? From love, what can I get from you? I will love you as long as I get something from the relationship. That's kind of the normal way we love. And then there is for love, very good. For love is I'm going to love you no matter what you do, right? I'm going to keep on loving. It's the love we've seen demonstrated in Jesus, that Jesus comes to this world and he loves us and despite what we do or what we don't do. Amen. He doesn't even know. Steve, we are clapping. Awesome. So Steve, we're actually clapping for you right there, man. we just want to honor Steve today. And here's why. Because as you see, we have team players that are the church. That's the churches. In fact, 85% of our adults are involved in volunteering and serving every single week. And we have some team players just continue to honor, continue to serve. And if you came in and you got an umbrella under your head, that was Steve. So thanks, Steve, on your way out for just honoring each other and serving each other. It's a great thing. So we talked about from love. We talked about for love. And then in the second week, we talked about how to live. You remember that? And Paul said there are two ways for us to live. There's a foolish way and there's a wise way. There's a foolish way to live and there's a wise way. And the way you live impacts your home life. Your home life was kind of like this atmosphere of your home, the environment of your home. And it's not like the decor or the paint colors. But when you walk into a home and you experience something, you're like, man, it just seems friendly. It just seems welcoming. What is that? We talked about the home life. And the home life is determined by how you live. And there's two ways to live, foolish and wise. And there are two proofs that show you how you live. Remember them? The first was self-awareness. How aware are we of our brokenness? Paul says that we should consider God. We should look to him. Don't live without thought. Make the most of every opportunity. So being self-aware, saying, you know what? I'm not as good as I think I am. That's where the gospel starts in our lives. The gospel, the story of Jesus and his love, actually first calls us to recognize you're not as good as you think you are. Now, if it left us there, that would be a pretty demoralizing message. But the good news is that it says, as wrong as you are, as broken as you are just as loved in Jesus. And so it's this invitation to say, despite your brokenness, you are not disqualified. In fact, being broken makes you qualified. You have to be aware that you need saving. And that leads to our home life. And the second self word we talked about was self-control. That a wise way of living, it puts into practice self-control. And we talked about how some things enter our lives to control us, and ultimately we lose control of ourselves. But the Holy Spirit, Paul writes, comes in not to control us, but to produce self-control in us. And the Holy Spirit comes into our lives, and we are now filled with the Holy Spirit. And this self-control is evidenced in how we live. Now, last week, we got a little specific, and we talked about marriage. We talked about what does it look like between a husband and a wife in a home? How does that reflect a home life that is healthy? And so we were challenged with, hey, on my wedding day, I said I do. But somewhere along the way, it turned into I do if you. Right? Conditions. I do if you. If you, then I do. And we place these conditions on our spouse and says, no. I'm going to if you. If you come home on time, there's a hot meal. If you come home late, there's a cold shoulder. Right? That's kind of how we navigate the relationship. And we saw that Paul gives us this broad stroke of what he wanted to put in fine details. And it was what? Mutual submission. Mutual submission. Basically, try to outdo each other in the way you submit to each other. He starts off with submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And then he gets specific. For wives, this means submit to your husbands. For husbands, this means love your wife as Christ loved the church, being willing to die for her. We realize the only way that's ever going to work is if we first understand God's love for us. That the gospel is not an I do if you, but Jesus said I do long before you did. And that is good news. Jesus said, I will enter this space and change your life long before you even look to me. Paul says that while we were still sinners, while we were the enemies of God, God shows us his great love. So you didn't have to come to church for the last 3 weeks. You just needed 6 minutes with me this morning, all right? So now you're all caught up. We're all in the same space. And today we're going to end our time by looking at one other relationship. Now, this is probably the most diverse range of stories when it comes to this relationship that we have in this room. Because for a lot of us in this space, it's, man, I'm not even around these people. How does this impact my home? And for others, it's, man, I'm around them, but I wish I wasn't, or I'm around them and I love it. There's a lot of different stories that are going to be present with this relationship. And it matters. It matters a lot. So don't tune out, don't check out, because this one matters. And it's your relationship with your parents. It's your relationship with mom and dad. Now, I know, it's like, this is adult church. This should be for downstairs, right? Like, children, obey your parents and Lord. We're going to read that scripture, actually. But as I was preparing for this, and I was considering the room, and just not even specifics, just saying, okay, if there's a room with about 40 adults in it, that's 40 different stories when it comes to mom and dad, right? Even if our stories look a little bit similar on the surface, you have a unique way of relating to your parents that is different than even your siblings would have. And so this is very diverse, and truthfully, my prayer for you all week long was that this Sunday would be an extreme day of healing, an extreme day of taking a step towards something maybe different or something even greater than what you have. So let's talk a little bit about the diversity. For some of us in this space, we know our parents, and we enjoy that fact. We enjoy getting together with them. We look forward to getting together with them. Some of them live close to us, and so it's great we can have family meals together and spend time together. And for some of us in this space, we're not too close to our parents because of distance, but we look forward to Thanksgiving, we look forward to Christmas, we look forward to major holidays when we can gather together. And then for some of us, it's, you know what, my parents are still alive and around, and I don't really look forward to those holidays. There's a lot of pain in your story as it relates to your parents. There's a lot of brokenness in your story when you think of mom and dad. And so you, it's like, man, I don't like to talk to them. Others, it's, I love to talk to them. Others, they keep talking to me, and I wish they wouldn't talk to me, right? It's all over the place. And then there's some of us in this place, it's, okay, well, my parents aren't here anymore. Right? I can't pick up the phone and talk to mom and dad. And yet there is still a way that you are relating to them. So look at the diversity of this. We have parents who are here and parents who are not. We have parents who are here, and we kind of wish the relationship was further apart. We wish it was closer. Some of us haven't spoken in years, decades. Some of us are going to speak later today. Some of us are wishing I could just hear the voice one more time. I just wish I had that opportunity. So you can feel that there's heaviness on this. And why talk about this then? Why does Paul, because we've been reading through Paul's words, Ephesians chapter 5 and 6, why does he move from loving one another? And then he moves into self-awareness, self-control, and then he moves into marriages, and finally he concludes there about parents. Why does he move there? And I think it's because Paul realizes that relationship that every person has with their parent is foundational. It's foundational. For some, we'd say, you know what? I don't even know my parents, because there's that story too. Never met my parents. When I was born, my parents weren't there. Some of you, you're on a quest to find them. Others are, I don't want to know them because they left me and that's their problem. You see that? So Paul moves into parent-child relationship because it is foundational to our lives. Here's what I mean by that. Your relationship with your parents is going to set the tone for the relationships with other people. It's going to set the tone for how you relate to other family members, for how you relate to friends, for how you relate to coworkers, how you relate to your barista. Right, that's me, right? Monday morning, I will see him tomorrow, right? So it's how you're going to relate to people. Ultimately, if you're a parent, it's going to be how you relate to your kids. And most importantly, what we're going to talk about is your relating to your parents is going to directly impact how you relate to God. It's going to directly impact it because it is foundational, because it is important, because it matters. So this matters when we talk about parents and children. Now, the word we are going to talk about today is not one that comes up too often in our culture. It almost seems like an archaic word, a word for the time when Knights of the Round Table were around. It's that word honor, right? That honor word. We typically, and it's nothing wrong, we just don't lean into that. That's not a normal language that we use. But Paul uses it, so we're going to talk about it. Now, if we were to consider honor today and relating to other people with honor, here's what we tend to do. We make honor about what you do, not who you are. That's really, when it comes to honor and where we are as a society, I will honor you based on what you do, not simply based on who you are. And so I had that experience even growing up with teachers. I would honor certain teachers if they didn't give me homework. So if you're going to make my weekends easy, I will listen to what you have to say all day long. Thank you. But for my teachers, it just seemed like it was their goal to make my Saturday miserable, and it was, here's your project. I didn't show as much honor, truthfully. Why? They were both a teacher. Who you were is the same. But what you did impacted it. How you treated me, what you did for me or not for me, impacted the way I treated you, with or without honor. And so when we think of mom and dad and we think of our parents, we have this leaning into, well, I can honor them because of what they did, because of how they were around, because of how they loved, because of how they cared, because of how they accepted me. But that's not all of our stories. So we're left with two things. Either we have the definition of honor wrong, or only some people can honor and some people can't. And that makes this completely unbalanced. So we've got to explore it. This matters. Ephesians chapter 6, we're just going to read two verses together today. Verse 1 and verse 2. We'll read a little bit of verse 3 as well. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. So, Sunday school class graduate right here. I had the sticker charts. I had the felt boards, okay? If you were in church in the 90s, you know. You showed up, got your Bible sticker, brought a friend, two stickers. You know everything, the Bible verse, another sticker, right? So that's where I live. That's a little history there. And Ephesians 6:1, I felt like that was the only verse they ever taught for some reason to little Keith. I was a pastor's kid. So if there was one verse I needed to understand most, my teachers knew it's Ephesians 6:1. We got to help the pastor out. His son needs to learn. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. And so if you have a church background or a Bible background, you might be thinking, man, that's a good kids verse. And you know what? You're absolutely right. You are absolutely right when it comes to that verse. Here's why. The Bible is originally penned in Greek. That was the language of that day. So as Paul is writing his letters and they're being passed around, it's in Greek. That's the main language. Now fast forward when we get our hands on an English-speaking people and we start translating, we'll look at a Greek word and we'll do our best to translate it into an English word that makes sense. Sometimes we translate it based on the context. Sometimes our translations are based on word for word exact. Now, this word is interesting because when Paul says children, you know what the Greek word was that he used there? Non-adult children. Very specific. The Greek word that he uses for children is non-adult children, non-adult children. So my Sunday school teachers had it right. They looked at little Keith and said, you need this one. And the application went right through. Now, if I stood up here and I tried to preach Ephesians 6:1 to a group of adults, I'm not honoring what Paul was talking about because his writing was non-adult children obey, non-adult children obey. And you know what the word obey means, especially if you have children of your own or if you have a boss or you have a wife. That was a joke, calm down, right? Some of you like delayed laughter. Whatever that looks like for you, you understand what obey means. Obey means carry out the command, do what's being asked of you. So Paul writes this and says, children, non-adult children, here's how you best relate to your parents. You obey them. That's how your home life is going to be established in a healthy way. That's the best way for you to live. Children, non-adult children, obey. Then he quotes an Old Testament passage. So we have to do some research around there. Because that part there, honor your father and mother, he's quoting something that God told Moses, that Moses told the Israelite people, and you're probably familiar with it. It's the Ten Commandments. Right? If this is your first or second time in church, you still may be aware of the Ten Commandments. It's kind of these 10 rules, and maybe you've seen a movie or you've seen some artwork depicting it. And the Ten Commandments were given by God to Moses for the people of Israel to give them the best way for them to live. I mean, you read them. They're good rules. Don't kill each other. Sounds good. Don't steal. I like that. In fact, don't even look at what your neighbor has because you might be tempted to take it. Don't lie about it. These are great things. God's not looking to hurt them. He's looking to help them. And one of the things he says to that audience is honor your father and mother. Who is he talking to? Adults. The context of that verse and that sentence and that command is not non-adult children. It is all children. So Paul, look how scholarly Paul is. If you don't lean into Jesus because you think the only people that followed him were unwise fishermen and nobodies, you need to read Paul because Paul was brilliant. Paul was a scholar. He's known as a Pharisee among Pharisees, the greatest religious leader. So Paul, in all of his scholarliness, says, children obey, non-adult children, but let's tie in what took place thousands of years ago. Honor your father and mother, all children. Now, we need to figure out what he's talking about. We need to define honor. Is it about what you did? Is it more about who you are? We're going to get there. But what is honor? For a lot of us, the reason why we don't honor mom and dad is because we've built our own definition of what that is, and we just can't do that. Because when we think of honor, we start thinking of love. Well, in order to honor them, I have to love them. And they never loved me. In fact, I don't even know them, so there's no way I'm loving them. But is that what honor means? And a lot of times we think of honor, we say, well, if I honor them, that means I have to admire them, I have to look up to them. And I can't do that because of the mistakes they made along the way. Or if I have to honor, that would mean obey. No, 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 Paul broke it down. Obey is for non-adult children. Honor is for all children. So as we get into this, you've got to understand what honor is. And I did what I think we should all do, and we don't know what a word means. You Google it. You go to the dictionary. And when I look up honor, it's not admire, it's not love, it's not obey, it's not enjoy being around. I can't honor them. I can't even stand them. It's not that. It's not that. Honor means respect. Honor means esteem. Honor means place value on. So here's what I'm going to do. Paul says, this is what you need to do. If you're going to have the best relationship with your parents, if you want a home life that pleases God and is attractive to others, as you consider mom and dad, respect, esteem. Yeah, but I don't want to be around them. You don't have to be. You need to respect them. You need to esteem them. You need to place value on them. That's what Paul is calling us to do here. Now, that's fine. All right, I get it. But a what without a why doesn't go anywhere. You know this in nutrition, right? I know I probably should not eat ice cream every day. Stop telling me. I know. I just haven't found a why to make me not do it yet. All right. When I get the report or something and the why says, here's why, then I'll consider. But I know what to eat. You know what to eat. You know what to do. You know how much to sleep. But you need a why. You need a why to make your what matter. And so Paul says, here's the why I'm going to give you. I'm going to string it right there. It's going to apply to non-adult children. It's going to apply to all children. I'm going to put it right there for you to grab onto because you need a why or it's not going to matter what. Now, before we see Paul's why, here's some whys that we have. Because they're family, because they're blood, because they're parents, because I say so, right? I brought you into this world, take you out, right? You've heard it. I've heard it. Right? So what is that why about? That why is built on because I'm family, because of blood, you need to do this. Here's the problem, though. Some of you don't know your family and your blood. Some of us don't even know who our parents are, so that's not why enough. Okay, if it's not about blood, it's not about family, then what about wisdom? Because they're older, and hey, you should respect people who are older than you, so let's lean into wisdom. Some of you realized you were wiser than mom and dad at 6 years old. Be honest. You know. Because you were taking care of mom and dad. Because mom and dad had an issue or they had substance abuse and you suddenly became the parent. And you knew at 6, I'm way wiser than these guys. So that doesn't work. And then there's the karma reason, which I heard growing up, and good Lord, it's true. Whatever you do to your parents, your kids are going to do to you. I mean, you've heard it, you've seen it. And so there's that. And it's, man, you better respect mom and dad because at some point you might have kids and it's going to come back. And truthfully, I can't lie, it's happening. But that's still not the why that Paul gives us here. Paul gives us a better why, but the problem with Paul's why is we don't like it. We don't agree with it. It's not normal for us. So here's his why. It's right in the middle of the screen, but we're going to put it on one slide. For this is right. For this is right. That's his why. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father. I love it. He just detaches it. It's both ends. Why should I honor? Why should I obey? For this is right. Now, here's the problem with it. What's right for you is right for you, but it may not be right for me. That's called relativism. In fact, we're going to talk about that during the summer series. Because that's really what kind of spurs us along as we consider our navigating life. You don't have the right to tell me what's right. Well, it may be right for you, but that's not fair for you to put your right on me. I'm my own person. And you need to be tolerant of what I believe. And you need to understand if this works for me, it works for me. It may not work for you, but that's okay. We can agree to disagree. We absolutely can. We absolutely can. But when Paul throws a "for this is right" up there at us, we push hard against that because we say, how do you know what's right? How dare you tell me what's right? I need to discover. I need to figure it out. I need to find my own way to know what is right, because what Paul is presenting is an absolute. Paul is bringing in moral absolutes into a relative society, where right is right for you, but it may not be right for me. And that's all right. And it is all right. But if we keep working upon relativism, then I can create my own right way and you have nothing to say against anything I do. The whole system starts to collapse. I can do anything I want and say, well, it's right for me. What are you going to do? I have come to this conclusion. In fact, you are being intolerant. You are being closed-minded. You are being bigoted. Whatever word we need to apply to the context, you are hateful, you are old-fashioned, you are traditional. But what we're really saying there is truth is relative, and you have no right to tell me what's right. So this might be where some of us, we check out. And honestly, if that's where you check out, that's okay. Because Paul is talking to an audience who has a relationship with Jesus, who has said by discovering the love of God, you know what? I don't want to live for relative truth anymore. I would love to have a moral absolute in my life. I would love to have a true north. I would love to have a compass that goes in a certain direction that says this is right. Not because another person said it, but because someone outside of people said it. And so Paul introduces moral absolute to us. So we have our what, we have our why. But now how in the world are we going to do this? Because you have a messy story with mom and dad. You have a history there. They're alive, they're not alive. You talk to them, you don't talk to them. So how do we do it? I said at the beginning, this relationship is a foundational relationship. And what I meant by that is this. When you are first born, the first relationship you are looking to is mom and dad. It is the first thing. I saw it both times with my children when they were born. They wanted to be with mom and dad. They knew when they were being held by someone else and mom was over there. They wanted mom's acceptance. They wanted dad's approval. They wanted the love that was coming from us. You were born for that. The problem is we don't always get that. We don't always get acceptance and love and approval, especially the way we want, and more than that, the way we need. You want unconditional love and approval and acceptance from a parent figure. But if you're a parent in this room, you know we can't give that to our kids as much as we want to, as much as we try. There are times where we hurt them, where we do wrong by them, where we don't act the way they expect or the way we should. I lean into selfishness when it comes to my time, when it comes to my attention. So you were created and designed to know unconditional love, acceptance, and approval. And that foundational relationship where it should be doesn't happen. So what happens? We refuse to honor. We say, if you couldn't give me what I wanted, I'm not giving you what you want, what you deserve, what you say, give it to me because of who I am. No, no. You wouldn't give me what I wanted. You wouldn't love me. You wouldn't accept me and approve of me. I cannot honor you. And suddenly in us builds this resentment and this unforgiveness and this bitterness and this, I would be different if mom and dad were different. But the problem is you can't control mom and dad. But now that situation is controlling you. And so instead of us leaning into, I won't because you didn't, the gospel message tells us there is a perfect father for us. There is a perfect parent for us. There is one who looks at us with unconditional love, acceptance, and approval, not because of what you do, but because of the perfect son, because of Jesus. that Jesus fully satisfied everything about the Father when he came to this world. That the selfishness and sin that you and I carry, that feeling in us that says, I'm not going to honor, I'm going to make this about me. Jesus takes that to the cross, destroys it. So that when we find ourselves in Jesus, we now relate to a perfect Father through a perfect Son. And what that does is we no longer look to that as our foundation, but to Jesus as our foundation. And what that does for you and your mom and dad is you can suddenly release them and honor them because you are getting everything you need in the Father. So mom and dad, no, you didn't love me the way I needed to be loved. You didn't accept me. You weren't there for me. I didn't feel approved of. But I can release you. And this is going to be a stretch, but stay with me. Because you're no longer my God. And I know it's weird. Mom and dad's God. Here's how we set up anything as our God. When we look to it, him, her, them, business, health, whatever it is, when we look to that to give us what only the Father can fully give us, we then create for ourselves gods. And it's way trickier in 2018 than it was in the Old Testament. Because you see the people of Israel, it's like, where's their God? Oh, it's that golden statue. That's pretty obvious. It's that calf. It's that whatever. Today, I think it's a little trickier. Because you got to actually look in your heart and say, am I looking to someone or something else to fully satisfy me? To approve me? I'll feel all right if I get the acceptance of this thing, this person. If I get the prestige, if I get the accomplishment. If the business grows, I feel great. If it doesn't, I don't. Well, what happened there? You may have made it your God. But in the Father, we are fully satisfied, and then we can release those things to be those things. And we can treat those things as those things. And we can say, I'm going to honor mom and dad. I'm going to respect mom and dad. I'm going to esteem mom and dad because I'm fully affirmed of and approved of by the Father because of Jesus. So this is an invitation for healing today. This is an invitation for you to have restoration between a relationship that is foundational in your life. When you think of mom and dad, when you think of your parents, what's coming up in you? Is it revealing that maybe they still have that hold over you and you can't even think, you can't even imagine respecting them because you're still looking for unconditional love and approval? You're invited to know Jesus today. You, as you are right now, are invited to say, I want to discover Jesus, and I want him to change the relationship. I want him to change my relationship with God the Father, vertical, so that horizontal can begin to change. Now, on your rhythm cards, there were some suggestions for how you can honor your parents this week. And let me say this. Some of those things just aren't going to be for you. I put a few suggestions on there, but some of them, it's just not going to work. Some of them, it's, I can't take that step yet. I can't do that yet. I don't want to do that yet. Now here, track with me for a second. Here's the first step you need to do before you get plugged into that. You've got to come to a place today where you ask yourself, who is my God? Who is my, it's a hard question. It doesn't make sense. There's no way mom and dad are God. If anything, they're the devil. Right? I know you're thinking that. I know. Who am I looking to for approval? Who am I looking to for love? Who is most affirming in my life? Whose voice matters most? Who do I care about pleasing the most? Who do I think about the most? Who am I still trying to win over the approval of? And the beauty of God the Father is all of those things fall flat because Jesus did it for you. Jesus already won the approval of God for you. But your first step today might be to discover Jesus, to take a step towards him. And if that's where you're landing, that gray card in that chair back, there's a spot that says discover Jesus. Begin the journey of discovering Jesus today. Begin the journey of saying, I want to know more about his love and his approval so that I can begin relating to mom and dad. Now here's what we're going to do. Our band's going to come up and they prepared a song for us to sing as a response song. So typically I pray we head out, but football season ended last week, so we're good here. All right, thank God the Eagles won. Amen. So let's keep it here. Keep it in church. Keep it in church. But here's where we are. Here's where we are. They have a song. It's called Give Me Faith. Because the reality is you can't begin trusting God. You can't begin trusting him if you don't believe in him. You can't begin releasing mom and dad from the expectation you placed on them if you don't have faith to believe in Jesus. One of the lines of this song is, I may be weak, but your spirit's strong in me. I need to sing that today. I think you need to sing that today. We need to sing that and believe, God, there's going to be restoration in my relationships. For some of us, today is your day for you to take that first step towards Jesus. Give me faith to trust you, Jesus. For others, okay, I need to keep looking at Jesus because somehow I started looking back at horizontal. Keep me plugged in. Keep me plugged in. So I'm going to say a prayer. Our team is going to lead us in just 2 minutes of this song. I'm going to worship him together. And then as we head out, we're going to continue trusting God, finding our full love in Jesus, finding our full approval from the Father because of Jesus. So would you stand with me as I pray, and then we'll sing this together as our response. Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for your acceptance and approval. I thank you that not one person in this space is disqualified from knowing you because Jesus is our full satisfaction. Jesus qualifies us. We look to your son, Jesus, this morning. We trust him. We discover him. We follow him. Father, our relationships need healing. Our relationships need work and restoration. You are able to do that. So while we are weak, we trust what you say. We believe in you, God. I thank you for the healing. I thank you for the restoration. I thank you for the pain being less and less as we continue to pursue you, our heavenly, perfect Father. Amen.